Well, it's our joy to have Brother Mark Thrift. Brother Mark, if you'll make your way on up to the platform. He pastored the Parkwood Baptist Church down in Houston, Texas for many years, over 30 of them, and felt God's call in his life to transition out of that and go be a help and a blessing to churches like ours through missions conferences, through revivals, through training, and all the rest. And so God has certainly used him greatly there, but now is using him in churches across the land. And we're thankful that he is able to be here with us today. He'll be preaching this morning and tonight. And if you've never heard him, if you weren't here last week yet year when he was here, then I believe you, like me, will find him an instant favorite. And you're going to love hearing Brother Mark Thrift. So he's going to preach for us, and I trust that the Lord will do a great work in our hearts. Brother Mark, thank you again for being at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. Sir.
To God be the glory. I do greet you this morning in the lovely name above all names, the name of which the Apostle Paul said that God hath highly exalted him and given him a name that is above all names, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, things in heaven and things in the earth and things under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. I am so thrilled. My wife and I, Joni, are thrilled to be here with you this morning to see your faces, to renew our fellowship and remember the glorious time we had last year. I want to take a moment to thank Brother John, and I want to thank Brother Dan for the invitation to come and be back with you. I love missions conferences. That is my heart, and I'm glad to be a part of this great missions month in which you have emphasized missions each Sunday of this month, and I trust the Lord will use us to challenge our hearts today. It's good to see Brother Philip Ninen and his wife and daughter. You know, I never cease to be amazed at how small God's big family is, if you understand what I'm saying. I met him in Canada, in Winkler, Canada, at Brother Mike Sullivan's church there in Winkler, Manitoba. And then, of course, through that meeting, Brother Steve Parrish, another good friend of mine, God opened some doors for Philip to go to Mississippi and come to Texas. And believe it or not, we had a trip planned to go there in 2020 when COVID hit. And we're still wanting to make that trip, my pastor and I and Brother Steve. And Philip, good to see you this morning. He's a tremendous missionary. I get his monthly reports. I'm challenged by what God is doing there. I would love to see it with these eyes. Great to have you and your wife and daughter. And then I'm also glad and honored to have Brother Tony Morin and his son Mark. Brother Tony, raise your hand back there. Tony was in our church in Houston for well over 20 years. And a few years back, he moved to Knoxville. He's living there now. Heard I was going to be here and came this morning. Thank you, Tony. I love you and Mark. And pray for his wife, Esperanza. She has some back problems or she would be here. She would be here this morning. Well, for a few moments, I lost sight of my wife. But I found her. You know, in Sunday school, I want to thank Brother Dan for letting me teach in the Sunday school class. I taught on Enoch and how he walked with God and was not, for God took him. Well, all of a sudden, my wife was not. But I knew God didn't take her because I'm still here. Not that I'm important, but you know what I mean. When he takes us, we're all going up. And I thank you, Brother Dan, for the opportunity in the Sunday school class. Now, I am a missionary evangelist. The name of our ministry is Global Gospel Connections. We work at connecting pastors and churches to missionaries in the field. And I work out of the Parkwood Baptist Church in Houston, Texas, that my father pastored for 22 years. And after his untimely death in 1985, I pastored for 31 years. February the 1st, 2017, I transitioned into full-time missionary evangelism. I preach camp meetings, revival meetings, Bible conferences, but a lot of missions, about 25 mission conferences a year. And that's our focus. I facilitate this. We facilitate this by taking mission trips, taking pastors with us. We focus on evangelism and training leaders. So far we've seen two young men that went with us on these trips that came back and surrendered to the mission field. God's heart is for the world. It is for the world. I brought these prayer cards this morning because not because I'm on deputation. I'm not on deputation. I'm not seeking support. But I would like for you to pray for us. Now, my wife's on this picture too, so don't throw darts at it, okay? You can throw darts at my side, all right? But a good place to put it is on your refrigerator because you visit it every day. And I know you'll see, and believe me, I mean, we would covet your prayers. I'm going to leave them right here. I know Brother John does not mind me doing this morning because, once again, I'm not asking for support. I'm not here on deputation. I am only here to try to encourage you, to motivate you and mobilize you towards missions. I trust that everybody's taken one of these. I think, John, it's a beautiful card. Great job on this. I used to tell our people, I used to tell them, I want everybody to take one of these, whether you fill it out or not. Keep it in your Bible as a reminder of what the Lord has laid on our church's heart to do. And when you can remember, pray for us. Pray for us. And I trust and pray that everybody that is a member of Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church, the oldest Baptist church in Tennessee, right? I believe so. I trust that every one of you will not only take one of these, but fill it out. When I read the book of Acts, chapter number 11, where Agabus stood up and prophesied about the dearth that was throughout the world, the Bible says that every disciple, every man determined in his heart to give. Can you imagine what churches could do if everybody would get involved in this? I used to tell our people all the time, I used to tell them, how does God fill a bucket up with rainwater? One drop at a time. So just come put your drop in and God will fill it up. He'll do that. Now, that being said, God does not measure our gift by the amount. God measures our gift by the sacrifices involved. The story of the widow's mites. The Pharisees, the religious crowd had come and dropped their pounds down on the table, and Jesus was watching. After they were done, the lady comes forward, drops her mites down, and Jesus says, excuse me, I have an announcement to make. Boy, I can just see those Pharisees licking their chops thinking, boy, he's fixing to brag on us. And Jesus said, this woman hath given more than y'all. See, with the Lord, his measure of a gift is not by the amount that it is, but by what's left over. The sacrifice that's involved. And so, I am thrilled to be here for your Missions Emphasis Month. I am thrilled to be here today for your Faith Promise Sunday, the day that you take up your Faith Promise offerings. And I trust and I know that this church is going to experience a great victory today. It probably will not surprise you, being as you're going to be taking your Faith Promise up today, that I'm going to preach on giving today. Giving. So, you know, that always stirs a rousing response, doesn't it? Matthew chapter 6, if you would, please. Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 6. Now, I'm going to take this coat off. I hope that's not offensive, because I'm going to do it. Reason why is this is a new suit. My wife takes me to the store from time to time and helps me get new suits. And she tells me that if I don't take the coat off, she's going to start buying them made out of paper, throwaways, because I just sweat a little bit. Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 6. What a great message this is. The greatest preacher that ever preached the greatest sermon that was ever preached. The theme of this message can be found in chapter 5, where Jesus says in verse 20, "For I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven." The theme of this message is, what is true righteousness? There's a lot of different areas that our Lord covers in this message, and he literally covers the landscape of Christian living. Part of that landscape, dearly beloved, is the grace of giving. The grace of giving. You see, grace is not just an element by and through in which we are saved, But grace is an enablement by and through and which we serve. Paul has much to say about the grace of giving in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and 2 Corinthians chapter 9, but here Jesus covers the subject. Begin reading with me in verse number 19. Lay not up for yourselves treasures. Treasures are those things that are valuable. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. For the light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon or materialism. The word therefore is in verse 25, and even though in Mr. Schofield's Bible there's a break in the chapter, there is no break in the context. It has been said, anytime you see the word therefore or wherefore in Scripture, you need to understand what it's there for. It is a connection word of context. It connects the previous words with the words to come. So we cannot disconnect the thought patterns here. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? I want to preach on the subject of giving this morning, and I want you to know that it's not isolated just to this context this morning. We see giving in the Old Testament. We see giving in the New Testament. And if our hearts are right with God, this is a subject that is going to bless us, and this is a subject that is going to enhance our spiritual growth and spiritual walk as believers. Giving is mentioned many places in the New Testament. For instance, in Luke's Gospel, chapter 6 and verse 38, it is Luke's rendition of this same message. Jesus said this, "Give and it shall be given. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give unto your bosom." To the Philippian church in chapter 4 and 19, Paul talking about their gifts to minister to him while he was on the mission field, Paul said, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." And then in Galatians chapter 6, and I know we often quote this verse in relation to sin, but when you study the context of what Paul is saying in Galatians chapter 6, he's talking about our giving. Right before this verse, he says, "Let him that is taught in the word communicate," the same word used in Philippians chapter 4. It has to do with our giving. "Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things." He's instructing this body on how to take care of God's man. And to illustrate that, he utilizes the law of sowing and reaping. "For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." You know, you never give to God but that he gives back to you. Amen. We don't give to get, but that's what God does. I mean, you think of verses like Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 9 where he said this. He said, honor the Lord with the first fruits of all thine increase. Then shall thy barns be filled with plenty and thy presses shall burst forth with new wine. What is he saying? If you honor the Lord in your giving, God's going to give back to you. Malachi chapter 3, he said, bring all the tithes into the storehouse and see if I'll not open up the windows of heaven and pour out my blessings upon you so that you cannot receive them. Why, right here in Matthew chapter 6, he said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. What are those things in the context of these verses? It is food and water and clothing. God's saying, you take care of my business, I'm going to take care of yours. And so here, dearly beloved, in the verses that you and I have read today, Jesus is magnifying the subject of giving. It is not the first time he's mentioned it, even in this chapter. In chapter 6, verses 1, all the way down through verse number 4, Jesus talks about the giving of alms and how we should do it and what our motive should be. But he goes on into the chapter and he gets much more specific, and that's where I want to preach this morning. I want to approach this text from three different angles this morning, much the same as I did in Sunday school. I want you to see, first of all, in these verses that I've read, that Jesus gives us an exhortation. He gives us an exhortation concerning giving. He is encouraging us about the subject of giving. Notice the phrase in verse 20, but lay up. Lay up, the word or the phrase lay up conveys the idea of sending ahead. It conveys the idea of giving or investing. What Jesus is saying very clearly here in verse 19, don't invest in this temporal earth, but invest in eternal things. Invest in heaven. Invest in the gospel. Invest in missions and getting the gospel out around the world. He is speaking here about investing. I'm not saying it's wrong to save. I'm not saying it's wrong to budget. But none of those things should be done at the expense of robbing God. He is teaching you and I here the priority that we ought to feel, the priority that we ought to practice as believers in emphasizing investing in his world and in eternal things. But not only does he give us an exhortation in these passages, Jesus draws us a conclusion. He draws us a very clear conclusion. We see that conclusion in verse 21 where he says, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Let me say that again. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Here's what Jesus is saying. And here is the conclusion that he is drawing. The investments that you make are the emphasis you place upon investments, eternal or temporal, speaks volumes about where your heart is. It speaks volumes about the condition of your heart. Now, I don't want to overwhelm any of you, but a good friend of mine was Dr. Joe West. He pastored the Town East Baptist Church in San Antonio, Texas. And boy, I've never heard a preacher preach more plainly on money than Dr. West did. He said, I'll tell you what kind of a Christian you are. Let me look through your checkbook and flip through your pages. And if there's no churches written for tithe, if there's no checks written for offerings, if all your checks you wrote are spent on you and your existence here, he said, I'll tell you exactly what kind of a Christian you are. That may sound a little over the top to some. That may sound a little bit bold, but essentially that's what Jesus is saying. He's saying the condition of our hearts can be determined by the emphasis upon our investments. So Jesus gives us an exhortation in these passages. And that exhortation is to invest in eternity. Invest in eternity. Jesus draws us a conclusion. He draws us a very clear conclusion, dearly beloved. And that is that, that the investments that we make speak volumes about our hearts. But the last point is Jesus leaves us an admonition. He says, therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink. He leaves us an admonition here, and the admonition is this: you obey me and you don't worry about the outcome of that. That's what he means when he says, take therefore no thought. What he's simply saying is, don't be anxious about it. Don't be over careful about it. Don't worry about it. If you take care of my business, I'll take care of yours. There it is. That in essence is the message, but don't close your Bibles yet. I want you to see, as we go back through this, I want you to see the depth of what Jesus is talking about here. He gives us an exhortation: lay up. Lay up. And as I've told you, that means to invest. But I want you to see, first of all, the people of investment. He says in verse 20, lay up for yourselves. Lay up for yourselves. Who is he talking to? He's talking to the people of God. He's talking to his disciples. He is talking to followers of Christ. He is addressing them corporately, and he is addressing them individually to emphasize, to focus upon eternal investments. Well, I know all of us have to eat, and I know all of us have to live, but our priority should be, as Matthew 6 and 33 says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. He is talking to me. He is talking to you. He is talking to us. He's not talking to a lost and dying world out there. He's talking to the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he is encouraging you and I to invest in eternal things. But not only do I want you to see the people of investment, I want you to see the place of investment. He says, lay up for yourselves treasures where? In heaven. In heaven. Amen. Send it on ahead in heaven. What we invest in here, Isaiah said, will fade like the flower of the field, and it will wither like the grass. I've preached to many a funeral, and I've never seen anybody take any materialism with them to the grave. But the Bible very plainly teaches us that what we send on ahead in eternity and in heaven, moth and rust cannot corrupt it, and thieves cannot break through and enter. But not only does he emphasize the people of investment and the place of investment, but he emphasizes the permanence of it. The permanence of it. You know, I've had my identity stolen 3 times, and all 3 times it was stolen using a credit card at a gas station at a pump. I put my card in there, and a little bit later, I noticed somebody had stolen my identity. They had stolen all the information off my credit card, and there were charges on there. And I thought of this verse when I saw that, where Jesus said, where thieves cannot break through and enter, where moth and rust doth not corrupt. This is a temporal world that we live in, and all of it's going to fade away. But let me tell you what's going to last. The souls that are saved by hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ, because of the investment that Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church makes in the lives of people like Philip Nannen and so many others who have given their lives for the sake of preaching the gospel. One day, Paul said, it will be fruit that abounds to our account. Fruit that abounds to our account. But now, what about this conclusion that Jesus draws here? What about this conclusion? He says very clearly, where your heart is, that's where your treasure is going to be. Your investments speak volumes about the condition of your heart. Let me draw three parallels here. Number one, it proves what your heart is full of. He says in verse 22, the light of the body is the eye. If therefore the eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? Our investments prove what our heart is full of. It's either full of light or darkness. It's either full of self or full of the Savior. It's either full of heaven or it's full of carnality, dearly beloved. And our investments prove that. It proves it. But not only does it prove what our heart is full of, but it proves who our heart is following. Jesus said in verse 24, no man can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. It proves who our heart is following. It proves that we're either following Him with our whole hearts or we're following materialism. We're following this world. And the proof of that can be seen in our investments. But not only does it prove what your heart is full of and who your heart is following, but it proves where your heart is focused. Look at chapter 6 and 33. He says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. It proves where our heart is focused. I wonder where our hearts are focused today. Are our hearts focused on eternal things? Are our hearts focused on the things of God? Or are our hearts focused on temporal things and the things of ourselves? It can be seen in our investments. But let me move on to this admonition that Jesus leaves us with. And the admonition can be seen no less than six times in these passages. Verse 25 says, take no thought. Verse number 27 says, which of you by taking thought? Verse 28 says, and why take ye thought? And verse 31 says, therefore take no thought. In verse number 34, he says, take therefore no thought, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. The word or the phrase taking thought just simply means what Jesus is saying is, don't worry about it. I'll tell you one thing we do. We worry about our money, don't we? And boy, in this day and time, it seems to be coming even more to the surface. But we worry about those things. And when we preach on giving or emphasize giving or talk about giving, sometimes, dearly beloved, instantaneously, because we're human, we worry about those things. And what Jesus is saying here is invest in eternity. Invest in heaven. And when you do, you don't worry about it, because if you take care of my business, I'm going to take care of yours. And let me show you why. And I'll bring this message to a close this morning. But let me show you why. First of all, I want you to see that you and I don't have to worry about it, because we are the Father's priority. We are the Father's priority. Look what he says here. Verse 26, he's talking about the fowls of the air. He said, they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. And boy, I love this last phrase. He says, are not ye much better than they? Look what he says a little later on about the lilies of the field. This is beautiful. Verse 28, and why take ye thought or worry about raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Shall he not much more clothe you? Do you see what Jesus is saying here? He's saying, if I feed the fowls of the air, do you think I'm going to let you go hungry? Are you not much better than they? Don't you know that mankind that I created is my priority? Don't you know that you and I mean more to God than the fowls of the air? The lilies of the field. He talks about how beautiful they are. Even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. And Jesus goes on to say to them, he says, shall he not much more clothe you? Oh, if he feeds the fowls of the air, if he clothes the lilies of the field, how much more is he going to feed us and clothe us if we honor him by seeking first his kingdom and righteousness? He's going to take care of our business if we take care of his. We are the Father's priority. But not only that, we have the Father's perception. I love what he says here in verse 31. He says, take therefore no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth ye have need of all these things. We have the Father's perception. God knows what our needs are. God knows where we lack. God knows our struggles and our daily needs. As a matter of fact, he knows them before we know them. He knows those things. He knows when we need food and water. He knows when we need clothing. We have his perception. He knows these things. But I tell you what he's waiting for you and I to do. He's waiting for you and I to learn how to trust him and ask him for those things. Look what he says in verse number 9 of chapter 7. Or what man is there of you, whom if his son asks bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Jesus is telling us, and I want to say to you this morning, your pastor, our pastor has asked us to be a part of a faith promise love offering. To get the gospel around the world, to send the gospel to the ends of the earth. And the fear and the temptation is, well, boy, if I just don't know if I can afford to do that. I just don't know if I'm able to do that. But what the Lord is telling us this morning is, know this, that you mean more to God than the rest of his creation. And if you step out on faith and trust him, God is going to take care of your business and God is going to meet your needs. What you and I need to learn to do is how to trust God and believe God and ask him for those needs. He told the church at Philippi, because of their obedience, that my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. We are the Father's priority. We have the Father's priority. perception. We're given the Father's promise. I love what he says in verse 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and here it is, and all these things shall be added unto you. God is faithful, isn't he? I love what 1 Corinthians 10 and 13 says. There is no temptation taken you, but such as is common unto man. But God, who is faithful, God is faithful to his word. He's faithful to his people. And when you and I step out on faith and trust him and obey him, God is always faithful to his word. And he gives you and I an ironclad promise here that if we'll seek him first, that all these things, and in the context of these verses, these things is food, water, clothing, the necessities of life. God is saying he will meet our needs, the necessities of life. No wonder Jesus said, give and it shall be given. Good measure, pressed down, running over, shall men give unto your bosom. I'll tell you what the Lord has taught me in the last 5.5 years. As Joni and I have traveled, as we have given our lives to the cause of the Great Commission, as we have stepped out on faith and trusted God, we've seen God to be faithful, but God has taught me this. That is that I do not live on what churches give me. I live on what I give him. Because it is in what I give him that God moves on others to give to me. And oh, how we need to learn that. That doesn't just fit a preacher, a missionary, evangelist. That's for all of us. We need to learn how to live on what we give him. Because it is in what we give him that God gives us a promise, a daily promise to meet our ever need. Here in a moment, your pastor is going to come and engage in the taking up of this offering, this faith promise offering. And I hope as you look at that card in your hand this morning, I hope, number one, that you've prayed about what God wants you to do. And if you have, I hope and pray that God will give you the grace to fill that card out, knowing and trusting that God is faithful, and that he'll not lead you to do anything that he cannot provide, that he cannot meet your need. With our heads bowed and eyes closed this morning, Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, for this great church, this great people. It's a mission-hearted church, Lord. It's a church that has a heart for missions. We pray that you might bless the leadership of this church, Brother John, and those who serve with him. We pray, dear God, that their faith will be strengthened and their reach will be lengthened today as they step out and obey the Great Commission. As they step out, Lord, and trust you in sending missionaries around the world today for the sake of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We love you, Lord, and we thank you for your love for us. We thank you for your faithfulness and every promise. We ask it all in Jesus' sweet and precious name. Amen and amen. Brother John, you come if you would, brother.
Thank you, Brother Mark. In our invitation this morning, I'm going to do this. Just, we never want anybody to come to our church and think we want your money. It's really not that. We want to get this gospel message across around the world. And here's this gospel message that maybe you're not aware of. The truth of the matter is every single person has a problem. That problem is that we've sinned against a holy God. That Jesus Christ loved us enough to die on the cross, was buried and rose again, so you and I could go spend an eternity with God, him in heaven forever. The problem is our sins have separated us from God, and without the saving act of Jesus Christ and asking him to be our Savior, we would never get to that heaven that he wants us to enjoy. And so Jesus makes this plea, or makes this promise, for whosoever can come to Him. And so that's the message, and our missionaries, every one of them, that's the message that we're getting out. I don't want to get out around the world, not get around out here. So perhaps you're here today and the Lord's been knocking on your heart. And I never want anybody to come to our church and get confused about the message of what we preach. That message is Jesus Christ came to this earth to save sinners. Would you bow your heads together with me as the ladies play through? And if God's speaking to your heart, I invite you now this morning. We'll get to the other things in just a moment. But there's nothing more important than if somebody is here with us today, you're not 100% sure that you're on your way to heaven, not certain that you've asked Christ to be your personal Savior. If that's you today, would you step out and come? Maybe they're sitting beside somebody and just tap them and say, would you go forward with me? They'll come. Maybe before you step out, you'd say, Brother John, I'm sitting here. I'm not sure that I'm on my way to heaven, but I'm raising my hand so that you will not by name, but you will pray for me and ask the Lord to help me. Would you lift up your hand? You're not sure you're on your way to heaven. Anyone at all? If you're able to, would you all stand together and make it easier on somebody to get out if they need to? And in that little bit of hustle or a little bit of bustle of standing, if you need to come to the altar, pray about something, it's open for you. Maybe you need to come and ask Jesus to be your Savior, and we'd certainly rejoice about that. If you're here and you need somebody to pray with you, we'd certainly be honored to take the time to pray about whatever your need is. If you just slip down. Maybe you're here and there's some other spiritual need in your heart. You need to be baptized. You're saved, but you need to do that. We do it in a service real soon. You'd like to come present yourself, or there's some other spiritual need that you have, then the altar's open. Those play through just a little bit more, and then we'll continue on. Anyone at all? Thank you so much. You may be seated. Here's the different part of the service that we don't normally have. We'd usually dismiss, but our ushers are coming forward right now with a bunch of these Faith Promise cards. Now, you got one on the way in the bulletin most likely, but as Brother Mark mentioned, I want everybody to get one. If you don't have one, they're coming to the front, and they've got one. You say, I don't need to fill it out. That's fine. Just take it. It's a good prayer reminder. Put it in your Bible. As they make their way back, if you don't have one, just lift up your hand, and they'll pass one down the pew to you. As they make their way back, if you need one, just hold up your hand. They'll get it to you. You may have one at home, but just stick this in your Bible. You may need one for somebody else, and just get one from them. We'll give them out freely to everybody. And so as they're making their way back, here's what we are looking at. On the side, on the right, it says, My Faith Promise Giving, weekly amount. Perhaps you get paid every 2 weeks, and if you could just and you say, well, that's how I give every 2 weeks. If you didn't mind to break that down into the weekly, that just helps us as we calculate. I always worry about preaching along my lines of money because people often get a sour taste about that. Preacher Lassie, somebody came when we was over in the gym. They said, well, I came once when Gene Lassie pastored. He preached on money. I came the next time when John pastored. He preached on money. I ain't coming back. Well, it didn't necessarily work it out like that. He didn't coordinate that, but we don't mind. I don't mind preaching on money. It's in the Bible, but especially don't mind when it's about getting the gospel to the world. So we're not trying to line the things up here. We're trying to get that money out to good missionaries around the world. So I hope that you prayed about it. If you haven't prayed about it yet, here's what I challenge you to do. You take it home, pray about it this afternoon, seek the Lord, and come back tonight if you're not able to do that. You can put in next week, of course, but we'd love to get as many as we can today. And here's what we're going to do. I'm going to have in just a moment the ushers come forward. They'll or come as they come forward. If you just pass that, you can fold it up once, tear it off, fold it up, turn it upside down, whatever, and just pass it to the middle aisle up there, pass it to the aisles, and then they'll collect those in an offering plate. And then we'll bring it up here. Some of our deacons are up this way. They'll be calculating very quickly. And this just gives us a wonderful blessing of seeing what the Lord is going to do. And I'll be reading some off just so you'll know what's coming in. So with that being said, ushers, if you'll head on up to the front, and or I guess you can do it from the back, whichever. If you'd pass those up, just turn it upside down, tear that off, put that weekly amount, turn it upside down, and it says turn in this portion on the back. And if you'd pass it to the middle, and then as they make their way up through, if you just pass them in. Just hold them out there. Those good-looking ushers will get them. You say, I didn't get a good looking one. I got this one. Well, it's luck of the draw. Sit somewhere else next week. So we'll get you a good looking one, Barney. Look at that. Carol Barrett. I think Carol was the one that was saying that my usher's not good looking, Barney. Barney just picked it up from his wife. All right. You pass those in. We'll get them over to Bobby. Now, maybe you didn't get in all the way. There's ushers everywhere around. Just hold your hand up and they'll get one. You say, this feels kind of funny. Again, let me reiterate as I did a service ago. You notice on here, there's no place for a name. This is not information you're giving to the church that we're going to call and say, hey, you didn't give $5 last week. We don't know who gives or not. This is all strictly confidential. It's strictly for so that we can have an amount to budget on. So as they get started, I'm going to ask the ladies just play something through, break the silence a little bit, and we'll continue on just a few moments and tell you where we're at. Out there's ushers just wandering around. Just lift your hand up. They'll be glad to get it. If you need something else, if you need a sandwich, a snack or something, lift your hand up. They'll get that for you. They really won't, but it'd be nice to hear you ask them. I'm going to read some of these amounts off. This is just so you can know that we've got them from what some people call large amounts down to a small amount. I've already told everybody, I'm not concerned about the amount you give. I'm just thankful that, or I believe that everybody should have a part. And if that's $2 a week or that's $200 a week, that's between you and the Lord. But I want to read some off just so you know. You'll probably find some that are about where you are. Whether that's an encouragement or something. And I was also going to, I forgot to mention this earlier. Perhaps you already turned one in last week or the week before, but the Lord moves on your heart to say, you know, I said I'd give $20 a week, but I really believe we can give $25. Then do grab one of these today or tonight. Don't mark it out and put the whole amount. Just put on there $5, and that way that'll add in and get our budget the right way. And perhaps over the afternoon today, you'll say the same thing. Let me read a few of these. This person pledges, again, no names. I couldn't tell if I wanted to. $37 a week. This amount, $6 a week. This card, $44 a week. This one used one of the standard boxes there, $5 a week. Someone gave $50 a week. Someone $5 a week. This one's for $150 a week. This one's another $65 a week that somebody wants to give to Faith Promise to get the gospel around the world. $30 a week. $1 a week. Like I said, I'm not concerned about how much you're giving. That's, again, between you and the Lord. But I would love for every one of our families to get involved with it. $5.77 a week, $12.50 a week. There's $25 a week, and there's $5 a week. I know what some of us think. We think, well, you're really not true. You're not really not serious when you say you're happy to see $5 as much as you are to see $500 or $50. But Brother Mark, in your church, don't you figure that God was pleased with some people who gave five more than they were others that gave 50? Because the one that gave 50 might have been able to give 1,000. But if they want to impress the men, the women of the church, well, I'm going to give a big gift of this amount. Sometimes what we do impresses people, but it doesn't impress God. And so I really do mean it. The amount's not my bother. I just want everybody to get involved. Here's one for $45 a week that somebody would like to give. Here's a $5 a week that somebody would like to give. $13 a week that someone would like to give. $7.50 a week. And there's 20 a week. And there's $50 a week. It's just a blessing for me to see it be all over the map. Because I don't want it to be all large gifts. I think about if I were a missionary, I like to think I'd be faithful to go if God called me. But I think I'd rather have a bunch of churches that gave me $50 a month than I would to have one church that gave me $5,000 a month. That way, when they was given, he mentioned that verse, where your treasure is, your heart will be there will your heart be also. Now, I misquoted that or misapplied that verse for a long time in my life. I thought wherever your heart is, that's where you're going to give your money. And that's the way it's preached a lot of time. Boy, what you have a heart for, you'll give money toward. What you have a real passion for, you'll get out your billfold or write your check or swipe your card. But that's not what the Scripture says. It says it just the opposite way. Where your treasure is, there your heart's going to follow. So that means if you give to something, then your heart's chasing after that to see, well, how's it doing this week? I guarantee if you had stock in one of these companies and you had big amounts of stock in one of these companies, you ain't going to go too long, but what you're going to check and see how that stock's doing. You want to see if you're going to retire to that beach house in Hawaii. You want to see how it's doing because your treasure's there, your heart's there also. We've got here $53.08 a week. Here's $960 a week. Here's $1,000 a week. Here's $100 a week. I love this one just as much. Here's $6 a week, $10 a week, $40 a week, $50 a week, $25 a week, $5, $6, $5, $28.85 a week. I just want to praise the Lord for what He's done so far and what He's going to do. And the way we're going to handle it, it's 15 after 12. We're going to get a number from the couple financial wizards that we have over there. And they're going to tell us what our financial or our faith promise amount is up to at this point. And that way will allow us to know from where we're going. And then what we're going to do is we'll take them up tonight. And I'm being serious as I can be. The Lord may move on your heart today, this very day, and just say, I think for a missionary, I could give another $5 a week. That's basically $20 a month. That gives a fifth of one support. We usually support them for $100 a month. And God moves on your heart. You say, well, would an extra dollar or something mean anything? Well, it probably means something to that missionary. Probably be something to that one we haven't taken on yet, but we're going to as soon as we get him in here. So maybe the Lord will move on your heart to say, I can add to that. And as again, I'll reiterate that then, but you won't necessarily you won't put the new amount. You just put the additional amount on there. So, Brother Bobby, you think we got a spot where you can stop or no? You still working? Almost done. All right. It's exciting. I hope you don't mind. If you got to go because your work schedule, please don't feel bad. You won't bother us. Thank you. Okay, so for today, I should have found this out before. Do we know what ours was last year, Bobby? It's all right. I don't know. I should have looked. It would be. Well, for today, this morning, and what we've had up till weeks leading up to this, right now, for the next 52 weeks, 12 months, It's the way we do it. My family and I will be doing the same. We're doing the same thing. We'll write what we're promising to give for the next 12 months, 52 weeks. So for this next year, to go toward our missions, we are currently right now at $249,683. Praise the Lord. Amen. That's a blessing. Amy says not to talk about math in the pulpit, but that's almost a quarter of $1 million. Right, Bobby? Bobby's our banker over here. Marty doesn't want to get in on that. Praise the Lord. That's exciting. And I hope that you're not sitting there saying, I don't think we should talk about all this money and all that stuff. Really, listen, folks, in the culture in which we live, if our missionaries needed chickens, we'd be having a chicken drive. But I wouldn't know how to get it to them if they did need them. If they needed, I don't know. I mean, we've taken up stuff and sent it to places before. If they needed that, we'd get that for them. But really what they need is the money to buy the stuff over in the, you know, they need the supplies just like we do. They got to get toothpaste and all that stuff. And it really gets down to the basics of needs that these missionaries have. And in our current culture, the easiest way to do that is take the money. Bert does a wonderful job, gets it to these mission boards, and they're able to get it to the place where those missionaries are so they can keep on living and then they can keep on preaching. And that's why Brother Mark Thrift doesn't feel bad about preaching to you today about money. Do you? I mean, because it's not helping him any. We're not giving him a love offering, so it's not going to help his. We are. That's just a joke. We are. Now you're going to feel bad for him. Here, Brother Mark, here's $5. But he didn't preach that for his own self. But he knows there's a lot of good missionaries, some of which he knows, and many of them he doesn't know. But boy, that folks, they really need us. And I'm glad to be involved with a church that sees that need as well. Why don't you stand together with us? And it kind of feels bad now. We've been talking about money. The ushers are at the back door to collect more of it. So that's our normal Sunday morning offering you give. Let me just tell you this, folks. Brother Larry and I, the head usher, we talk about, well, what about passing the plates and all that? And, you know, we stopped that during COVID. But God has just been so faithful. God has just been so faithful. Amen. It's amazing. Amazing, amazing, amazing to see what the Lord has done, is doing, and it's not only in the buildings and things, it's right in that offering plate, and it's all of it. It's every bit of it. Thank the Lord, and I praise Him, and I thank you, His people. What a joy it is. Tonight, we'll get to hear from Brother Jackson. Brother Jackson, you'll be with us tonight, right? And hear about the Amazing Grace missions over at the fair this week. They were able to see many people saved, and he'll be able to share blessings with you about that tonight. You saw the booth over there if you were there, and then we had a booth as well, but thank God for what he did in that. Praise the Lord for you being here. I'm going to ask Brother Kyle, if he doesn't mind, to slip to the pulpit and preach or pray for us. Brother Mark, if you didn't care to slip out to the lobby, and Brother Ninan, if you didn't mind, you and your family to slip out there. And I want you to get by and meet Brother Ninan. Many of you did not get to meet him when he was here last year, and none of us got to meet his wife, Sophie, and their daughter, Natasha, but they blessed us with being here today as well, and they are our good, faithful missionaries. We're so thankful for them, and I'd love for you to get by and see them before you leave, and just let them know that you're praying for them. And Brother Philip won't be here tonight. He's got to head back, but Brother Mark, of course, will be. So Brother Cal, pray for us, please.
Lord, we thank you for this opportunity you give to us to give back to you and give to missionaries around the world to spread the gospel. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity. Lord, I pray that you would help us this week, Lord, that we would seek you first in every area of our life through this week. Lord, bless us as we go. In your name I pray. Amen.